Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It is Saturday. I am back in my dorm room here in St. Vincent's College. I got up here around a little before noon to do a radio show. I got a little free lunch before that. Probably should mention that. That was pretty tasty. Did a three-hour radio show. Steelers are just starting practice now. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go about to practice, and then I'm going to do another radio show tonight. But I am here for four nights, and then camp breaks. So this will be a four-day stint in the dorms and then heading back home from there. I wanted to do a show with you guys yesterday, but unfortunately life got in the way. Lots to discuss. We're not going to break down every game, but today I want to talk about two injuries. Geis is really a heartbreaker, to be honest with you. And that's where we're going to start. And the first-round rookie quarterbacks, too, you know, how they performed, I think is noteworthy, too. So I haven't gotten through every game, of course, but I will be. I mean, that's why we're here. As for Geis, for those of you that don't know, I also am real involved with Dynasty football. And what that is you keep your team, Dynasty Fantasy. You know, you keep your team year to year, and then you have a rookie draft, and, Barkley was like the obvious first pick in rookie drafts. And to me, Geis was the clear number two, like the most enticing fantasy producing type guy coming out of that draft. And a lot, some people had Penny, some had Michelle, Chubb, you know, DJ Moore. DJ Moore played really well this year, week two, by the way. And I really thought Geis was in for a great career. And from what I was told, he dropped in the draft because he's kind of an odd dude, and he's more into Fortnite than practice and kind of rub people wrong and people in the other direction. And I thought, man, teams are really going to regret that decision, that this guy, give him the ball. And I think he's a better receiver than people realize, too. And I have really expected him to be the foundation of Washington's offense this year. You know, new quarterback. I've told you guys many times, I was starting to really warm up to the Redskins in general, but especially their offense. Man, this team's been hit hard by injuries. I mean, they were the most injured team in the league last year, and really over the last five or so, they've been near the top. It's just been a really bad run of luck. And it continues with this guy. I mean, the drop-off to me to P. Ryan or Kelly is massive. And I guess they came out today and said, you know, we're not in the market for a veteran. I think you should be. I mean, you should at least be open to that. And this doesn't mean Geis won't go on to have a great career. I mean, ACLs aren't what they used to be, but it's unfortunate for him, of course, and for the Redskins and for all of us, because I was really excited to see him play. And, you know, he looked good getting hurt. He looked good playing. But how does this affect the offense? Is the zone blocking unit, you know, their line basically moves really well, particularly Schreff and Williams. And Gruden, I think, is somewhat hurt by his last name, that I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for devising offense. And if you remember, I mean, some of the best play callers in the league were on this staff under Gruden. You know, I mean, the guys currently taking care of the Niners and the Rams made their bones here in some ways. And I think they throw the ball a lot. I mean, it's more of a pass-happy offense, not pass-happy, but high percentage throwing offense than people might realize. I thought they might reel that back just because of Geis, because they could lean on him, I thought, in such a way. It's also a very heavy and very effective play-action offense, which, if you don't know, which to me is like one of the biggest gifts in the league, you know, that play action is the quarterback's best friend. And Cousins was highly effective off play action last year, even though this was one of the worst running teams in the league. And I thought, wow, you know, with a really legit running game, churning, staying ahead of the sticks, leaning on Geis, it would result in more big plays off play action, you know, particularly to Paul Richardson and those type of guys. And for those of you that don't know, I mean, even if you don't run the ball well, and the Redskins proved this last year, you can still have a great play-action game. You know, it's how you sell it more than, boy, they're running it down our throats. Now I think they're going to run again, you know. So, but still, I mean, having a foundational runner like this, I think, would have helped the play-action game. I got to think now that the run-pass percentage will favor the pass even more than it would have, or maybe even in recent years. And I would think Smith is going to be a real distributor, you know, facilitator. A lot of short throws to Thompson. He could catch a lot of balls this year. Reed, Crowder. Doxson needs to win on the outside. Richardson's a big play guy, too. So there are weapons, but, man, I really thought it going through Geis was an ideal situation. Now I'm got a bad taste in my mouth. Another injury of note, this is the only one I know that is season-ender, is Deion Kane, another rookie wide receiver for the Colts. And he's another one that's been had a lot of buzz about him. And I know some people, Lance Zierlein does exceptional work for NFL.com, had him as his number one receiver at one point in the process, in the draft process. You know, big, fast, typical Clemson-type guy that has a lot of ability. There were some consistency issues with him and some other concerns. But I looked at him when the Colts took him, even though they, you know, they drafted other ones, that I thought he was going to end up being the number two there opposite Hilton and had a chance to be a real impact player in his rookie year. And that isn't going to happen. You know, he is lost for the year. Again, unfortunate. Hate to see rookies get hurt, too, because you know, you do all this work watching them and scouting them, and then they finally get their new home, and then, boom, they're out. You know, so it's a rough game. A lot of things this time of year are rough. But I had real high hopes for him, too, and clearly that is a position in Indianapolis that's really light on big playmakers right now outside of Hilton. All right, all right. I also wanted to talk about the rookie quarterbacks around the league. I mentioned that DJ Moore was very impressive in the Panthers-Bills game, and he absolutely was. I know it's only one game, but I can really see him leading that team in receptions, receiving yards. Well, maybe McCaffrey. I mean, they got a lot of weapons. They absolutely do. But DJ Moore, let's just say he looked legit. That's for sure. As for Allen, I mean, you guys know I've been hard on him. You know that he would not have been my pick. I wouldn't have taken him that early. Super-duper high variance. And we saw some of that. He makes this, like, crazy hook shot attempt. Like, what are you doing? And there were some throws just missed. You know, just there were lows. I mean, like I talk about with Mahomes, I mean, he's going to be a roller coaster. And for those of you that know me and how I evaluate quarterbacks, maybe more than most evaluators, and I'm not off the crazy about it, but I'm an arm strength believer, and I put probably more value on arm strength than many out there do. I just think there's times when you need it. And even amongst big arm quarterbacks, this guy has a cannon. I mean, it's easy gas. I mean, I think that's I know so little about baseball, but I think that's a pitching term. Of dudes that just make it look easy and vroom, it's 100 miles an hour over the plate, you know. He's like that. It's like no effort and the ball goes 70 yards with power. And he made some throws. I mean, the college level, you'd see that, but it wasn't accurate. You know, I mean, and of course he did make throws. He's a first-round pick. I mean, I sometimes talk about him like the guy has no chance and, you know, always, you know, pushing dirt on his grave. And that's unfair just because he was last on my list of the five that went in the first round. But, boy, you can see things that make you go, holy smokes, if we can harness this, and he's never going to be breeze accurate or anything like that. He's a lot like Cam Newton. But he's jaw-dropping at times, too. Like, holy cow. Another jaw-dropping guy is probably the best player in this draft is Saquon Barkley. Giants lost to the Browns, but Barkley had a 39-yard gain, first carry, and you just saw it. You know, like, oh, yeah, we're going to see a lot of those. But I want to talk about Mayfield in this game. Tyrod Taylor looked good. I thought Mayfield looked very good. Taylor was 5 for 5 for 99 yards and looked great. Although I will say that Giant defense is a huge concern for me. But that doesn't take away at all from Mayfield's poise, how he looked in the pocket. Thought he showed really good feet. Ball placement, you know, not just accuracy, you know, not just completing a pass. Like, I learned this at Pitt. Like, Walt Harris is our head coach. And when I would do cut-ups of quarterbacks, you know, every throw on there would be a completion. And Walt would be like, yeah, he's not that accurate. And I'd look at him like, he has completed every throw I showed you. He's 100 for 100 on this tape I just showed you. But his ball placement's not accurate. I mean, the real gurus, you know, Walsh would say, you know, the ball needs to be 6 inches in front of the numbers. Not 8. You know, like, it's a big deal. And I think Mayfield has some of that, you know, where extreme accuracy, great ball placement, catchable ball, plays the game with a lot of energy. And again, I wasn't super thrilled with him. He was my fourth quarterback. But there is a certain buzz for sure with him in Cleveland right now after that game. And I can see why, you know, and they've been burned many times. But he exceeded my expectations in this game for sure. One other rookie note, Antonio Callaway caught a 54-yarder from Baker. He's very explosive, and he's got a chance to be a very good player if he can keep everything together. That's obviously the question with the dude. This is the second performance from Lamar Jackson, my favorite guy. And it was kind of a lot like the first one. He threw a really nice pass to Chris Moore down the middle of the field. But overall, his accuracy and his passing has been subpar. And I'm not super worried about it. Don't get me wrong. It's only been two games. And, you know, but I remember him being, or I expect him to be, a better passer than we've seen through two preseason games in a very limited amount. But he also, kind of like Allen, you know, the wheels are wow factor, you know, and there's obviously much more to playing quarterback than throwing the ball hard, fast, you know, far, big arm, or running with it. But those two possess a rare trump card, too, that few can do what they do at that position when it works. And that's especially true for Allen because, you know, Jackson's what he does always works. But one other thing I really noticed about Jackson through these two games, and it scares the heck out of me, is he doesn't protect himself. And he's skinny. You know, I mean, you don't worry as much if Cam Newton doesn't protect himself. But Jackson, it feels like RG3. You know, like, there's dudes out there, like Cam Newton doesn't avoid contact. I mean, he's the exception to the rule. I mean, I often call him Mike Allstud. You know, I mean, he runs the ball like Allstud. He does not run the ball like a quarterback. And maybe it'll kill him one day. Who knows? He's a unique player. But like Wilson, Russell Wilson, is a great runner of the football, but he knows how to protect himself. Get out of bounds at the last minute. Slide. Graze off tacklers. Don't take direct shots. Protect yourself. You're extremely, extremely important. Any quarterback is, let alone a Russell Wilson or a Cam Newton. And hopefully someday a Lamar Jackson's in that conversation as an elite type of quarterback. And I think he will be. But boy, he's taken some shots already. And maybe he just hasn't yet adjusted to the speed of the game that, boy, these tacklers are on me sooner than I'm used to, you know, than playing at Louisville, maybe. I might have to go back and watch his Louisville tape and see how well he did that, too, because he can't. I don't want him keeping this up because he's going to get hurt. You know, I mean, I hate to say that, but he's skinny. He's like a Vic or an RG3 in terms of body type. He's taken big shots at this level. It's a bad formula, man. My guy has me a little worried, that's for sure. So we talked about four of the first rounders, right? We talked about Mayfield went first. Rosen still hasn't happened yet. Okay, that's why I was having a brain cramp there. He plays tonight. I'm very excited about Rosen. We'll see how he looks. But the last one is Sam Darnold with the Jets, and they won 17-0 over the Falcons. And Teddy Bridgewater was really good in this game, too. I mean, he wasn't asked to make a lot of really hard throws. But they're showcasing him. He's an NFL quarterback. If you look back on the podcast feed, I did a Bridgewater show or talked about it in pretty much detail. Clearly, they would love to get a draft pick out of him. I would assume he would love to get in a different situation because I do think Darnold is going to start the season or shortly thereafter. McCown is basically a glorified placeholder quarterback coach, but he was a good starter last year. I mean, McCown's a good player. But Darnold played much better than I expected. You know, and he worries me, don't get me wrong. I mean, he was my third-ranked quarterback in this whole deal because I think he is an immense risk-taker and does not value the football enough. But he's got a lot of potential. You know, he plays hard. He reminds me a little bit of Jim Kelly. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Kelly grew up outside of Pittsburgh. It's a real quarterback hotbed here, by the way. And Paterno at Penn State wanted to be a linebacker. And so that's why he didn't go to Penn State, even though growing up a huge Penn State fan. Went to Miami but played the quarterback position like a linebacker, you know, with that aggressive mentality and throwing the ball through the wind, the K-gun, and tough. And I think there's a lot of Darnold in what I just described as well. But some of it is, dude, you're too risky with the ball, too. And I didn't see it in this game. It's only one showing. But I thought his first professional debut with the Jets was a massive success. So those are the five first-rounders. Mixed reviews, but mostly more good than bad. I guess I'll throw in Mason Rudolph, too. I mean, obviously, I'm tied in close to Steelers. He's practicing, you know, 200 yards away from me as we speak. One thing that's been plaguing him a little bit in camp is ball security, and that's interceptions, but even more so with him is protecting the ball in the pocket. And that was a bit of an issue with him in this game, too. They beat the Steelers beat the Eagles pretty big in an interesting game. And he was the third string quarterback. And Ben didn't play. Landry Jones played a little. Then Dobbs came in. And then Rudolph mopped it up with some real suspect blocking, of course. And the supporting cast wasn't strong. But that's true for most of these guys that we just talked about. A couple other notes about Rudolph. I mean, the thing that I've been really saying on the air here is very few quarterbacks come to the league with his pocket movement, extending plays. But unlike Jackson, Wilson, Newton, I'm not talking about running. I'm talking about Brady, Marino, moving within the confines of the pocket, short little steps, but while keeping your balance, keeping your eyes downfield, calm helmet, keeping the ball in a ready position where you don't have to stop, reset. If you see somebody open, you can get it out. And that's a real art form, and he does that extremely well. I thought we saw that against the a deep Eagles defensive line. And a poor, you know, guys blocking in front of him. He had to do it a lot and was under a lot of pressure. And, you know, a big thing I kept saying on the air here, too, is all these guys, I just want to see, do they look, in their first debut, do they look like they belong? Can they get in and out of the huddle? Do they feel comfortable? Are they, you know, going where they should with the ball? I mean, real simple things. You know, just the basic eye test. Does he look like an NFL quarterback out there? Because clearly, over these next couple weeks, we all are going to see some dudes in the third, fourth quarters where, what is this guy on the field for at this position? And I think for the most part, all these guys, and Rudolph, the one I watched closest, absolutely passed that test. Looks like he belongs. I know that sounds like a little thing, but not bumbling and fumbling all over themselves. One other thing I noticed about Rudolph, and this isn't a new observation, though, is because he is a pocket passer, and if you walk past him in the cafeteria, he is a big, strong, muscular guy, well-built for the position. You think of him as a strong-armed pocket passer, sit on your back foot, drill, you know, laser beams all over the field. And his arm isn't great. I mean, it's a starter arm. You know, like I was asked on the air, whose arm does it remind you of? I'm like, Kirk Cousins, maybe, you know, a slightly below average starting quarterback arm, which, you know, the term starting quarterback arm, that includes the Allens and Staffords and Rodgers and Flaccos and Newtons. And, you know, there's a ton of monster arm quarterbacks around. And I'm not comparing it to watching Roethlisberger over the years, but, I mean, he's not even close to Ben in terms of arm strength and ability to throw off unbalanced platforms and things. So like I mentioned with Rudolph, staying in the pocket and staying with his feet under him and a good throwing posture and motion and balance, that's going to be very important for him because unlike a Roethlisberger or certainly a Rodgers where you're in an unorthodox position and you still can throw a strike downfield, I don't know that Rudolph will ever be that guy. And there were some times where I thought his balls hung a little bit, you know, like needs to get there a little more snap. Like, it doesn't explode out of his hands. So, that's my take on those guys. And I just want to make one more quarterback note that was really good to see.